Good morning. Here we are again, gathered together for the healing seminars of Kauai 1989 and Chicago 1990. We are on tape number 6, The Infallible Healer. Now, if you haven't done so, turn this talk off, pause it, and have a 3 to 5 minute meditation so that you may enter the consciousness that spoke these words. Now, if you're ready, he begins by saying, today, we're going to try to find the substance. To be a real healer, you've got to have substance. We want to find the healer, and it's very important to know that you are not the healer. One of the important factors in the Spirit of God is that there is one immortal life. And you can feel that life. You can be plugged into it. You can be it. And you can share your immortal life with everyone in the world. This next line is a principle. And if you're wise, you will practice it. You can give God to everyone who comes to you. You can give God to everyone who comes to you. They come to you with a hope, and yet they're not reaching to you. They're reaching to God. And they're only reaching outside to God because they haven't found God inside yet. And you are to help them find the God of their own being, which will heal them. That is the principle upon which we work. The immortal life, the substance that we are trying to raise in man. The one false mind prevents you from living the one immortal life. The false mind which tells you have a body, which tells you there is a world. That's why it's called world mind. It sees a world instead of the kingdom. He says, last month there was an earthquake. San Francisco's famous streets were filled with confusion. Oakland's famous streets were filled with confusion too, and all around the Bay Area, people were wondering what had happened. Man was asleep. Man was not thinking of the one immortal life, and he needed it desperately. When you stand in the one immortal life, there will be no accidents, there will be no pain, there will be no death. You are under the protection of the Almighty. And if you never do another thing, he's giving you an exercise here, if you never do another thing, you must train yourself and immerse yourself to always be in the one immortal life. It is the protection against everything you can dream of. And that's what you're doing, dreaming. And when we walk in, you must instantly be in the one life. When you walk in somewhere, you walk in a store, you walk in a friend's house, you walk in your own house, you must instantly be in the one life, and that will change the complexion of the room, the complexion of the people, the attitudes. The one life sets the tone. And when you're not in the one, you're in the many. You're in the confusion. Now, we've talked here before about learning to love the one in the many instead of the many in the one, and how once you do this, you can never be alone again. Because if one disappears, moves away, passes on, you still have one. Nothing's taken from you, and nothing can be added. You have the one. And I talked with a friend of mine in Oklahoma about lifting up the entire group of a meeting that we were at. You lift up the entire group. You see, instead of the group, the immortal one. You practice this until you see it work. Madeline and I have gone to a meeting before, and we have lifted up the group, and the entire complexion of the meeting changed. This was at a church. The entire complexion changed. Suddenly we were talking about spirit and God and miracles and things. All right. So this is things we practice as we go out into the world, or as we walk in somewhere. The one life is in a state of total harmony. And when you feel this harmony, when you get into it, you know it. Yeah, you can feel it. Like I said, there's the entire complexion changed. The entire feeling of the group changed. The entire centering of attention changed just by knowing this truth silently. You can be meditating and not feeling anything at all, and suddenly you're aware of something new. Something in you has stopped ticking. Something in you that you don't recognize. It's a newness. A peace. And now you're in that peace as you feel the deep, satisfying presence as you touch Christ. The peace that descends upon you is unlike your normal consciousness. This is a new peace. It passes all understanding. It is as if you can't think. Something takes hold of you. Something releases you. And in this peace, you stand silent, wondrous, feeling like a child again, without a care. Nothing can touch you. And better still, nothing can touch anyone in your consciousness, and you don't even have to think about them. As if they're reaching out to your consciousness, they're reaching within to their own consciousness. And since it's the one consciousness, when you are in it and feeling it, nothing can touch anyone in your consciousness. The peace descends upon you. It lulls you. It takes care of everything that is in the world mind. I feel no worry about the future. I feel no need to check my financial statements this month. I feel the need to have bread, the bread that feeds the soul. That tells me that God is on the scene, and now infinity is mine. The whole world will be still. I am not in a human mind. The mind I have now is the mind I had in the beginning, and the mind I had in the beginning was before the world was, the Christ mind. The mind that is with you now is the mind of God. It is more than a billion years old. It is timeless. It is eternal. When you feel this mind, feel the miracle of it, because it is awake. It knows all things, and it is accessible to you. The one immortal life which will never end. The one immortal life which will never end. That's yours. That's the gift that God gave at the foundation of the world, is one immortal life. We think sometimes that 2,000 years ago God appeared as his son. That's not true. In one sense it's true, but then God appeared as 5 billion people and they're all his son. No, there's another way to see it. You have to look into the invisible. And when you look into the invisible, you see the Son of God, the one immortal life. And so before the world was, God expressed as the one immortal life. That's the Son of God. There is no other. But that one immortal life is what you are, what I am. And so the one immortal life was created infinite, omnipresent. I don't like the word created in this context. Let's say the one immortal life was expressed infinitely, omnipresently. And everlasting. So, that's what you are. That's what I am. Let's drop all these bodies and thinking about females and males and young and old and Asian and Caucasian and African and all these different races. Let's forget all about that for right now. No Arabs, no Jews, no Buddhists, no Christians. We're behind the veil. We're looking at God's real expression, the infinite, omnipresent, everlasting, one immortal life. That is what I am. We are getting rid of the world mind, the mind that always stirs things up, the mind that has brilliant ideas and always sees those brilliant ideas through a glass darkly. But the Christ mind brings to your doorstep the very thing that you need. You need a job? Go to the Christ mind. Is your marriage failing? Go to the Christ mind. Whatever you need, the Christ mind is the answer. For he knoweth your needs, and it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It will only bring you the Christ if you will let it. And the Christ lives your life, one immortal life. Because I have cancer, this must happen. That must happen. I saw the doctor. I talked to him. He said, this situation is very serious. And I listened. I believed him. I cannot have cancer. I'm talking about me. Me has cancer. But I, the one immortal life of God, I am the Christ mind. I look and I see. I see what is there. God never placed cancer upon the earth. How can I get it? Only by a dream. And that dream is going to pass away, for I am going to awaken. I will awaken now in the kingdom of God, where the law is perfection. Oh, but I cannot take my human body with me. Ah, did I think I had a body? Yes, I did. I was dreaming. The human body does not exist in the one immortal life. So then I have to leave my body outside. But I have nothing to leave. You saw Jesus walk from this earth. What did he take with him? He didn't take a body. Did he take a human body? Of course not. I am coming above the human body. I cannot erase the Christ life in a human body. Oh, that's what Lazarus was doing, showing the non-existence of the human body. That's what Jesus was crucified for, to show the non-existence of the human body. I cannot encase the Christ life in a human body. I wish to walk on this earth in the knowledge that I have transcended the human body. It has no existence. It will be there in appearance tomorrow and the next day, but I will be working on the fact that I am not in it. I am not a human body. I am not a human life. Dwell with that. It is the truth. There's another exercise. You are given the exercise to dwell with that. With what? With I am not a human life. I am the one immortal self. The one God expressed and is expressing. By the way, God's not dead. God didn't express as the one immortal body and then walk away and take a vacation in the Swiss Alps. No. God is expressing as the one immortal body. And that one I am. And that one you are. You're not this human body. And so he says, dwell with that. It is the truth. God is one. One. That's all that is there. The one invisible, the one self. And when you have awakened, you will be walking around in the appearance of a human body, but you will be aware that you are the one invisible body of God everywhere. You see that? This is what we're all aiming towards. Coming into the awareness that I am the one invisible body of God everywhere. And now he says, as you develop this theme in you, the physical problems will fade away. The financial problems will fade away. All of the problems of discord will melt. Because you are inviting the presence of God to live itself as you. And you will find that that presence does not share any space with another presence. The presence of God is unique. It is the only presence. It is the one presence. It is infinite. In that, your human identity disappears. You are the one presence of God. Can you feel a glimmer of that? Can you? Can you feel that, even a little, that you are the one invisible, immortal presence of God? God is expressing. That presence is that expression. And so you are that presence. It's simple arithmetic, really. 1 + 1 = 1. As you know, I already read that. Okay. This presence will teach you all things. It will tell you what to say, how to live. It will feed you and dress you and house you. It will do all the things that you need, but it will do something that you don't know you need as well. It will bring you a realization of the one life of the universe. The one life that is your life, that is free, that is never anchored, that is not confined. Are you feeling something within? Are you beginning to generate substance? What is substance? He said we were going to try to... How did he put it? Going to try to have substance. So, what is substance? Well, substance is not a thought. It's not a thing. Substance is the awareness of the one immortal life. If you look into the invisible and you see I, the one immortal life, you have become aware of God's presence, God's Son, the I that I am. And that awareness is substance. That awareness is the miracle worker. That awareness is the healer. He says, you know this substance within you is the healer, and you dwell almost instantly in that substance. Does I feel bad? I, who am the very healer that you have come to? I am yourself. You're living in a state of duality. I is you and me. Is that little fellow... Oh, I is you. Should have been a comma or something there. I is you and me is that little fellow you brought along. The one who is always complaining. The one who always needs something. When me is no more, I will stand in the field alone, and I assure you that I am perfect. I am the life of the universe, the life of all men, the life that never sleeps. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear fruit richly. And of course, we misspelled bear on the first take. But that's not the point. The point is the principle. If you abide in that awareness, and let that awareness abide in you, you will have fruitage. You will have your supply. You will have your healing. You will have your harmonious relationships. Okay. There's only one way to know Christ, and that's to be Christ. You say, why, I can't be Christ. Look at all my ailments. I've got this and that and the other thing. Even if I want to say I don't have them, I show them forth. And I say, right this moment, you are Christ, and you've got to find it out someday. It's important that you come out of the world mind, that you shake off the dust of the earth. The only thing that you require to feel perfect is the sure knowledge of God's presence. Your destiny is God. Now, up here where he said, when me is no more, I will stand in the field alone, and I assure you that I am perfect. When me is no more. Now, does that mean one cataclysmic cough and you're instantly enlightened and then me is no more? Well, it could, it can, as in Buddha's case or Siddhartha's case. However, this is what must happen in every meditation. This is the goal of meditation, is awareness. The goal of meditation is me no more. And so when you find the silence, you'll find that it's not an absence of sound. It's an absence of self, that little me. When that little me is no more in your meditation, the door will open, and you'll become aware of the one immortal life. And you'll say, oh, now I see. That's what he was talking about. So, in your meditation, find the silence, that absence of self, of me. And he promises you, I will stand in the field alone, and I assure you I am perfect. I am the life of the universe, the life of all men, the life that never sleeps. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear fruit richly. Wasn't there a time when something told you that God is here? You couldn't touch him, but you could feel his presence. Didn't something happen in your life beyond your capacity that was handled by some mysterious stranger? We all experience the presence of God at one time or another, and then things come into our life, and we forget. We rush with the mad throng, but that experience is real. It's a real experience, and it stays with you. It is always true, and it's always saying, come unto me. Come unto me, for my life is your life. Do you see the point? There's never a moment that the life of God is not your real life. And so, on faith, in spite of your problems, you begin to accept that God is here now, loving me, upholding me, waiting for the moment that I surrender. You see, there's two parts to this. One is your awareness of the presence. But the second and the bigger part is your surrender to that presence. Please, Father, you live my life. You make this talk. Let it touch someone the way you would have it. And you stand aside, and you start becoming aware that this presence, this one immortal life, is living you. For a moment you can say with Paul, I live, yet not I. Christ is living here. And sure as heck, the phone will ring, and it'll be somebody wanting something, and you'll forget about this, and that's why Joel says you have to renew it several times a day. It doesn't have to be a half an hour or an hour-long meditation. It can be 2 or 3 minutes. But we have to renew it, because we fall back asleep. Not my human sense judgment, not my will, not all the things I tell myself that I have and must get rid of. I don't have them. I wipe myself clean of that belief. All that I have is God. All that God has is mine. I and the Father are one. Do you see a new meaning to one? I am the Father. The Father is me. And my name is I. 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 Remove the web. Step out of the concept. Release man whose breath is in his nostrils. I am spirit, not matter. I am essence. My spirit is whole. My spirit is infinite. My spirit lives. Am I really the spirit of God? Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Yes, you are the spirit of God. I am the substance of your being, the immortal life of you, which never had a lifespan. I am your eternal self, which never has a human body. I am in the midst of you. Come, be my son. Now is the time to honor the son. Do you feel yourself letting go of someone who isn't you? There is a presence within every man and woman and child. That presence must be lifted up. You must surrender to that presence. You must give all of you. Keep nothing to that presence. Jesus overcame the world, and he taught his disciples how to overcome the world. He left a record on the earth for everyone to overcome the world. Come unto me. You come unto me by accepting yourself to be Christ. It is you who are the Son of Man, and when you realize that, you will live forever. You realize, too, that the worst problem you can have, no matter what it is, it cannot be real, for you are an eternal self, an immortal self, living an immortal life. You have never been a baby, you've never grown up. And when you march to a different drummer, out of step with the entire world, it will be because you realize at last that you are God's self, living God's life, and ready to assume your true position as the love of God, as the peace of God, as the harmony of God, as everything that God is, because that's who you are. That's the end of the first half. And I hope that you get the principles. 1. You go into your meditation. You do not bring me into your meditation, or any other me that's calling you or writing you or emailing you. You don't bring a me into your meditation. And if you do, you remember the truths that will help you become silent. Be still and know that I, the one immortal life, am God. Slowly you come to a point of silence. There's no me there. And then you can even invite, Father, speak, thy servant heareth. Or you can just have that attitude and listen and wait. God knows when you've surrendered. You can even say, I surrender. All the good I thought I had, all the bad things I thought I have, I surrender all of it. Now, Father, you live this life. You think. You move. You love. Pour out a blessing to all mankind. And then stand stock still. And you will feel something within. Maybe not the first time. Maybe it's the 15th time during the day you've had these 2 to 3 minute meditations. And suddenly you feel something. It's not me, and you know that. It's the I. And the I announces itself. The I. You have an awareness, an inner awareness of I. You have touched substance. And now you surrender. I live, yet not I. What do you want to do next, Father? And you watch and you wait. You'll be led. To continue with the chapter, he says, now let's say that you're unemployed. We have to see through that karmic law. Before you go out to get your job, take the nature of God into your deepest meditation, you'll see how ridiculous it is to be unemployed. Whether you've got any skills or not, who is unemployed? The minute I am unemployed, I am not the Son of God. The minute I am looking for work, I am not the Son of God. We've talked about this before, and I told you that I was speaking somewhere, and a man around the table slammed his fist on the table and said, "God has never gotten me a job." And that was because he never let him. But anyway, I didn't say anything at the time. I just let him go ahead and express. Now, when I was, I guess it was, let me see, was it before or after? It was after. After I had been up to see Herb Fitch at the Avila Beach in 1979, I came home, and a little while later I was laid off. I worked in the aircraft industry, and they're always putting on people and laying off people. They have a lot of factories that make parts. I built some of the in-flight fuel systems for F-15s. Anyway, I was out of work, and I went out to get a job. And every time I had an interview, the person would say, "Well, we can't afford to pay you what you were making before." And I said, "That's okay, I don't need that much, I can work for less." And they said, "Okay, thank you," but not one of them ever called, because they figured I'd be dissatisfied with less money. It was getting frustrated. I wanted to pay my rent. I had a house I was renting, and I wanted to pay it. So I called a friend of mine named Chuck C. Actually, his last name was Chamberlain, Chuck Chamberlain. Anyway, I called Chuck up, and I said, I explained the situation. I couldn't get a job. They kept turning me down because I'd made too much. He said, "You're looking at this wrong." Of course. That's why I called him, so he could tell me what I was doing. He said, "You're looking at this wrong." He said, "It's our job to help God's kids do things they need to have done for free and for fun. And then it's God's job to take care of us, period." He said, "Don't go out to get a job. Go out to see how you can help people do things they need to have done. And get lost in that." "Oh, okay," I said. Well, I had an interview in another factory, and this one was making automatic wire strippers. You know, some of the wire that people make, that companies make, is real stretchy, and you can't cut it. If you try to cut it, you end up taking some of the copper wire inside, or you leave a whole bunch of insulation. So we made the wire strippers within 1/1000th of an inch. So it would strip the wire cleanly for wire harnesses for aircraft. All right, so I went down there to the interview. No, but first I need to tell you this. Sometimes I get kind of smart alecky with God. He knows it. He doesn't care. All right. So, I'm in my living room. It's about an hour before the interview. And I look down and I've got these old jeans on that have paint stains from painting some rooms in the house, and I got an old shirt on, and I've got a 5 o'clock shadow because I haven't shaved. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get ready for the interview. I'm going to shave. I'm going to get cleaned up. I'm going to put on some Dockers and a nice shirt and get ready. And I stood up to do that, and that's where the smart aleck guy came in. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going down there to impress anybody. I'm going down there to help them do things they need to have done. And that's the principle, and I'm going to live by it. And let's see what you do, God. So I went to the interview, and the guy was a Mormon. And they're pretty clean, you know. Some of them don't drink coffee or anything. So here's this guy, and he's all clean and nice looking. And I come in there raggedy looking, and he says, tell me about yourself. And I said, well, I'm here to help you do things you need to have done. Period. That's the only reason I'm here. And you know, he could feel that. He could feel the atmosphere that I wasn't coming to get. He could feel that I was there to help. And I was. And he hired me on the spot. After a while, we're talking about it. Just he totally relaxed, and he was telling me some story where he stubbed his toe or something, I can't remember now. And we're laughing and stuff and carrying on. How wonderful it was. I wasn't there to sell him anything. I was just there to help him. And the next day, or whenever I started, the following Monday, I guess, I went to work for that company, helping them do things they needed to have done. And I made friends there, and one man named Levi, he was as black as the ace of spades. He came from Utah. And what a wonderful man. What a wonderful man. He would laugh so hard, the tears would roll down his face. God, he was beautiful inside and out. And I used to go to lunch with him, and I shared some spiritual experiences with him, and he shared some with me. And here we were, working at this factory and sharing about God at lunch. It was wonderful. So why am I telling you all this? Because I want you to know that if you live the principle will live you. Now, this universe is composed of God the Father and God the Son. And God the Son is sitting right inside you and has no employment problems. So why don't you just take the belief in unemployment, file it, and then forget it? Why don't you be about God's business? God is always about God's business. Why don't you take God's advice? In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will acknowledge you. Okay, so what is God's business that you must be about? Helping God's kids do things they need to have done. We will be a society of one. Why don't you take God's advice? I and the Father are one. You thought a job could be deprived. You could be deprived of the opportunity to earn a living. Do you see how little you have believed in the Bible? It's staggering. You probably are going off and claiming ownership of something. Maybe a car or a home. There is nothing to own on this earth. And no one to own it. Have you forgotten what you have learned? Matter does not exist. Okay. What is this? This is a concept, this table. It's a concept. And I know that because when I'm in meditation, even with eyes open, I can see through the concepts into the invisible, the I am. The best way to get one, which is a job, is to go to God, touch the Father, touch the Christ within who the Father is, and put your problem in Christ's hands and say to Christ, whereas I was a fool in thinking I was unemployed, I have no need of a job. I have only one job on earth, to be about the Father's business. Because I am the Christ, all the rest is superfluous. Well, you'll never know it until you try it. Of my own self, I can do nothing. I let God do God's work, and I might be unable to stop the fullness, the plentifulness. And that's why I explained to you, or told you the story again, of going out to help that man, that factory, that company, to do things it needed to have done. And I ended up employed with people that I loved. If you're living under spiritual identity, you're living under grace. And your needs will be provided. That statement is truer than true. Oh, you say, you don't see how. Well, it is good that you don't see how, because when you see how, you will always be working with the sweat of your brow. You'll always be finding you've got to earn a living. Whereas in spirit, one doesn't work for a living. One works for joy. And that's what I got out of that job, was joy. And I wasn't trying to get anything. I was trying to put in. Open your heart a little bit. Start to share. Realize that you have all God has. You have infinity to share. Depend on no one, because God is my sufficiency in all things. Now think it through carefully. You've got to be centered in God. That's your number one priority. That's all you've got to do. At all times, be centered in God, and everything must come your way. It is a law. Spirit draws onto itself. Spirit will employ you because Spirit is you. But if you're not spirit, or if you disclaim being spirit, or if you act like a human and not spirit, how can spirit serve? When you nothingize yourself, which you first practice in your meditation, you nothingize yourself, your body, your mortal life, get yourself out of the way, you will discover the amazing truth. God lives your life. So climb up. Climb up to that circle of God where all there is divine substance. You see, you've got all the divine substance there is, but you're asking for things. You're putting the cart before the horse. There are no things to get. That long list that you have prepared, those things don't exist. Now this is a good line here. Heal no cases. What do you mean heal no cases? I thought this was all about healing. Heal no cases for the simple reason that there are no mortal cases. See the case as immortality refused, and see them as immortal life. You see, Joel says that this person coming to me is really invisible God. And that's all I have to know, and then rest there. But I can't know it with my mind. I have to know it with my awareness. And that's a little deeper. When you see them as immortal life, see them as they are in God's eyes, without problems, and don't think your work is done then. You can't take a physical ailment and toss it out the window. But now see if there isn't something in you, something deep, something real, something alive, that you can share. I find another level of healing when you brush past the mortal appearance as a nothingness, and you are feeling your spirit as a somethingness. You can go to that person and share your one spirit between you. In fact, you can go so far in sharing your spirit that you can have an experience inside which will tell you that you have shared your spirit. When that person to you is spirit, when you are spirit, when there is one body between you, you will find the strange sensation of having your spiritual body and his or her spiritual body in such a perfect state of oneness that it feels as if the two have gone through a process of being blended into one. You can actually feel that blending. That's like a transfusion. And the other person says, "I feel better." You have lifted him up spiritually, and even though he doesn't quite know it, you have brought him to a state of realization of one body. Everyone who comes to you is God. Yeah, there it is right there. There isn't any other being on earth. I God, thou God, one God. Thank you, Father. I behold thy presence where the Christ of my being is. I behold thy harmony, thy love. I behold every need fulfilled. The key word in all this is behold. Not I make it happen or I think it into existence. I behold. I simply rest and behold. I feel a divine substance in all. Loose him. Loose her. Let them go. The divine substance animates their being. It needs no help of any kind. This is to be felt within, sacredly and secretly, and told to no man, not even to the patient, because you want to invoke the experience when he or she feels that divine substance that will be healing enough. When you desire something, a thing, you have made an error. You've taken yourself out of the circle of God. You've given your life back to mortality. You must translate your life and everything in it to spirit. There's a principle. Translate everything into invisible spirit. Do you have to tell spirit what you need? No. The wise man expects nothing. The wise man is a virgin. He takes no thought. He lets the thought of God fill his entire being. He anticipates nothing. He seeks nothing. He expects nothing. And he gets everything. Try to let grace live your life. You take this with you wherever you go, always knowing the Spirit of God is who I am, and the Spirit of God is the only self in the universe. Only God is present. It is a great and wondrous truth, and as you stand in the knowledge of God's presence as the only, then you're a healer, and you have no persons to deal with, and you've got to remember it, and you've got to practice it. God will help. God will not admit false thinking into your consciousness if your consciousness is the Christ consciousness. So you are never dealing with a person. Never. God will do the job of maintaining the principle of love and harmony and joy for everyone that comes into your consciousness as the Christ. You lift one person, you lift two persons, you lift the world, and it makes you a whole person. You are coming awake. You have passed the point of sleeping. Truth is in consciousness, and it will take dominion. It will bring order, even prosperity, all by itself. You have touched the Father within. There is no chance, no luck, no false belief. You are working on principle. And if you haven't noticed it, one of the things that makes you joyous now is that you are standing in the kingdom of God here and now. And your spirit and the spirit of all is mingling in the invisible kingdom of God. You are touching the substance of life, and it is you, and it is him, and it is her. We are one in the substance. We live by grace, by the knowledge that we are the substance of God, and that substance provides an overflowing. Okay, so that is tape number 6. Next week we'll do tape number 7, Spiritual Supply. And let's just be still for a minute. Spirit, reveal thyself, not by body, nor by mind, but by spirit, the one immortal life. I rest, I behold. Let Christ live itself. Me stands still. Me stops. I, the immortal life, I am here. Be still and know I. And in our world work, we see Russia, we see Ukraine, we see other little countries, and we release them, because this, again, is invisible God. And I am to look into the invisible at God, face to face, and then rest. I am the way. So let me live. I am the truth. So I drop the concepts. I am the life. And I let I live. I live, yet not I. I, the one immortal life. I am living. I am the life. And we stay here until we feel an inner movement, until we feel what we term the presence. We stay here in the silence, being as still as possible, ever aware, listening, waiting, watching, beholding, receptive. And if we're in the silence, we hear a voice that says, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And we become aware of that one Holy Spirit. And behold, I make all things new. Thank you, everyone, again for pulling this out of me. I never know from week to week what the talk's going to be. I do a little highlighting in the chapter, but other than that, I just read it once through and let it set in consciousness. And then I behold each week what you draw forth. So thank you. God bless. I love all of you because I know who you are. Thank you.